Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these familiar words, these familiar verses from the Christmas story, we just pray, O God, that we may have a fresh understanding, a fresh perspective on your living word this day, that words that some of us probably could recite by heart. And yet, Lord, sometimes that becomes routine. We pray that these words may become living for us today, and it may help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2,000 years ago, a chorus of angels proclaimed the birth of Jesus with the words, "Peace on earth among those whom God favors." Peace on earth. What comforting words from a choir of angels. Do not be afraid. This is good news. Your Savior has been born, and he is bringing peace. Wonderful words to hear. But where is there peace on earth? Where can we find it? This past week was the 76th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor for the Japanese and the escalation of our involvement in World War II. This morning, as we are in the United States, we in the United States continue to be engaged in war in Afghanistan and providing peacekeeping duties in other locations around the globe. We find ourselves asking, where is peace? And at what price do we have peace? The words of the angels spoken so long ago don't seem to have had a great impact on our world when it comes to the issue of peace. Nations have fought against each other for centuries. In our own country, we were divided and went to war over the issue of slavery. People were put in concentration camps in Germany during World War II, and others were imprisoned, terrorized, and brutalized in Vietnam, Iraq, and other parts of the world. Abuse and violence take place in our homes and on the streets. Can there be peace on this earth? Just a few minutes ago, we sang the carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," which repeats the phrase, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." I want us to take a few moments this morning to try and understand the peace that the angels proclaimed and that we sang about. The poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote, and we just sang, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." As we hear the bells of Advent and Christmas, we ask ourselves, is there, can there be, where is this peace on earth? The Bible is filled with the idea, over 300 times, the word peace, in both Hebrew and Greek, is used in the Old and New Testaments. Isaiah prophesied the coming of the day when the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. In another area of Isaiah, he spoke of the birth of a child who would be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible also clearly states that Jesus is the one who shall bring about this peace, the one whom Isaiah called the Prince of Peace. Zechariah predicted that he would guide our feet into a way of peace. And the angels sang that wondrous night, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among people." Those are wonderful words of promise and hope. But are they true for us today in a world of great darkness, where weapons are unbelievably destructive, and hatred is unmistakably strong. As he wrote this poem in the mid-1800s, Longfellow paused and considered the conditions in this country. The Civil War was in full swing. The Battle of Gettysburg was fresh in people's memories. Days looked dark, and he probably asked himself the question, how can that last phrase of each stanza that I am writing be true in this war-torn country, where brother fights against brother and father against son? But Longfellow kept writing, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. We hear the bells, and we are filled with hope. But then we look around us and don't hold on to that hope for very long. And we recoil with disappointment because our hope and our dream does not match what we are seeing around us. We can identify with the prophet Jeremiah when he observed that the people cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. On that night when the angel proclaimed peace on earth, Caesar Augustus was emperor, Herod was the king, and Quirinius was governor of Syria. The records of the ancient world show that scarcely any people were more brutal and violent than these men. Human existence in that day did not match the angel's proclamation. So what is peace? What did the angel proclaim? Often when we think or speak of peace, we are referring merely to some cessation or resolution of conflict or hostilities. This type of peace, which is the absence of fighting, is temporary. It slips away and has to be won again. In the time of Jesus, there existed what was called Pax Romana, the Roman peace. The Roman Empire claimed that its rule had brought peace to the world. This peace was built on terror, militarism, force, and intimidation by the power of the Roman army. It was a peace by domination. The fact that people wanted so much to throw off the yoke of Rome indicates that it was only an imposed peace. A second type of peace is the peace of escape, or the peace of non-involvement. It is attempted by retreating to a cabin in the mountains, or to a little ocean cottage, away from all the troubles and noise of the world. In a strained and exhausted society, it is a very compelling concept to just withdraw from all the negativity. The problem with a peace of escape is that it is essentially a denial of life. To relinquish our freedom, to refuse to be involved, to attempt an escape, is to choose death instead of life. This is exactly contrary to God's way of dealing with us. The Christmas message says that God has gotten involved in our history. God is not detached or distant from our lives, for God is Emmanuel, which is translated as God with us. There is a better peace than the peace of resolved conflict or the peace of escape. The Christmas gift of peace, that which Longfellow wrote about and that which the angel sang about, is the gift of God's presence and purpose in Jesus Christ for our lives. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His peace is not imposed like the Pax Romana. Instead, it is offered, and we have the opportunity of accepting or refusing it. Jesus' way is the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. He spoke to his disciples in the upper room, knowing that the cross was looming before him and that his death was certain. And he said these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The peace that Christ offers is different from the peace that the world offers. The peace that Christ offers us is drawn from his relationship with his heavenly Father. Jesus is living in the Father's will, and the will of the Father is in Jesus. And as we are drawn into Jesus and his Spirit into us, we have inward peace that is different from anything the world might call peace. The peace of Christ is a peace that no one can snatch away from us. Jesus gives us a peace that is internal, that's inside. That's not merely peace of mind so that we have some inner calm. It's more than that. It's an internal peace that comes from the presence of God. Jesus had that kind of peace as he faced his own death. He had such a vital union with God the Father that it gave him the strength to face whatever would happen in his lifetime. As important as it is to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, however, this peace must not be thought of as only an inward experience. It is to rule in our hearts so that it might also rule in the world. Like love, peace fulfills itself only in expressing itself, even by emptying itself. Thus, the peace of Christ is not only internal, it's also relational. It is expressed in how we relate with each other. And it helps us to build bridges of understanding and bridges of compassion. Christ's peace empowers us to try to restore broken relationships and to bring about reconciliation. So to the extent that we are Christmas people, we are called and challenged to go out into the world as peacemakers. We go out into the world that is full of conflicting ideologies, of cutthroat competition, and of the idolatry of power. Yet we go believing that the final and only victory, the ultimate and lasting peace, belongs to those who, in our darkened world, have ears to hear the chorus the shepherds heard, to those who see the light of Christ. Let's pray together. O come, desire of nations, bind all people in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. O God, we want to hear the angels' song again. We want real peace within our hearts, with our relationship toward others, and within our world. Help us, O God, to learn how to be peacemakers as we follow the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate this Advent and Christmas season. We ask this in his name. Amen.